Good day, everybody, and happy Father's Day. I specifically want to give a shout out to some very important people in my life. One is my father-in-law, Scott Bruner. Happy Father's Day, Scott. And then also the newest father in our family, my son, who has recently, or the past couple of months, they've given birth to a child. And so I want to give a big shout out to my son, Gavin, who is actually here. So Gavin, congratulations. Happy Father's Day. And then also my dad, the best father in the whole wide world, who has been inspiration for me. I love my dad very much. Dad, I wish I could be with you, but happy Father's Day to you. And to all the men, happy Father's Day. I'm glad that you're joining us today, okay? Also, be sure, immediately following this experience, to join us outside, wherever you are. And we're going to be having some food trucks. We're going to be having some cars. We're going to have just some fun. I hope that you will mingle and get to know some new people and do that immediately following this experience. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. And if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, please know that it will be on the screen, or you can find it in your notes and just follow along with me as I read the scripture today. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Don't worry about anything. How many know that's easier said than done? Now here's what you do in replace of that. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Good advice. And thank Him for all He has done. I'm going to stop there and just think that it's easy to tell God what we need, right? Just before we move on, Gideon is walking out of the building right now. Everybody wave at Gideon. Come on, Gideon. Gideon did good through the singing and the worship, and all of a sudden I get up to preach, and I just think he wants to be up here with me. Verse number 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. This past week, we had the opportunity to get some pictures that I think were very important. And I want to share them with you on Father's Day. It's five generations on the Fout side, and then on Shannon's side of the family, the Bruner side. So here's the five generations on the Fout side, which is my grandmother, my dad, me, of course, Gavin, and then the new addition, Rodney Gideon. Isn't that great? And then we have five generations of the Bruners. There you will see, again, Shannon's grandmother, dad, Shannon, Gavin, and then again, Rodney Gideon. Isn't that neat? You got both sides, five generations. We want to make sure we got those pictures while we could. And one of our staff members pointed out, I won't tell, you know, who the staff member is, but she is from Indonesia, and she's been serving in our graphics area. And she pointed out that, hey, that just proves the point that women live longer than men. If you weren't looking at the picture, there's no grandfathers there. And then she made this statement. She said, well, I guess it's just that the women stress the men out. I didn't say that. She said that, okay? I've got to show Gideon too, okay? Gideon right here, this is him. He's starting to laugh at 2 months and smile a little bit. And here's his new threads. He's starting his own clothing line right now. It's pretty cool, looking all dapper there. And then finally, he's in a Speedo right there. Okay. Would you hold out your hands? And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, give me the ears to hear what you have to say. Give me the faith to believe what you say. And today, give me the courage to obey what you say. It's in your name I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Over the past few weeks, I've been asking some questions that I think are very important questions for you to stop and to contemplate and think about. First off is this. What am I currently not doing that if I were doing would stretch me as a Jesus follower? What is it needs to be added in my life that would stretch me? We've been talking about the series How to Win. We've been looking at spiritual disciplines. What we have learned is that how the world teaches to win in life is different than how God teaches us to win in life. Oftentimes, what looks like a win in the world might not be a win in God's kingdom. And what looks like a loss, you know, in the world actually may be a win in God's kingdom, because winning actually boils down to obedience. And so last couple of weeks, I've given you a wristband that has How to Win on it. Hopefully you're wearing it. If not, you can go in the lobby and get one immediately following this experience. But these rubber bands, these wristbands, are meant to stretch. Even to put it on my wrist, I had to stretch it to go over my hand and around my wrist. We use rubber bands to go over packages. There's so many things wristbands could be used for, but they're meant for the stretch. And as a follower of Jesus, you're meant to be stretched. Your faith is meant to be stretched. You're meant to be stretched out of your comfort zone. That's how you were designed. And so are you being stretched? The second question I have for you is this. What am I currently doing that if eliminated would stretch me as a follower of Jesus? So I talked about question, what is it needs to be added, but what needs to be eliminated that would stretch me as a follower of Jesus? So we've been talking about spiritual disciplines. The first week we talked about the discipline of solitude. We defined it from the dictionary. It says being alone. That's literally what it means, is being alone. But we established in a spiritual context, it means being alone with God. That's what solitude is. I challenged you for 7 minutes, 7 days a week, and then one day to do 70 minutes of solitude, being alone with God, getting out the noise of the world, settling in just you and God to listen to His voice. Hopefully you're doing that. If not, hopefully you will implement it this week and begin to practice solitude. Last week, we added another layer to it in spiritual discipline in regards to fasting. What we looked at fasting is it's to set aside, okay, food or drink for the purpose of God. Throughout the Bible, fasting is dealing with the topic of food or drink. I want you to fast food or drink. What is those things that you enjoy that you're going to set aside for God? But we took it to another level last week with fasting, and I gave you a definition for fasting, which was this. It means to set aside those things you desire to draw closer to God. So I want you to fast food or drink, but what also can you set aside that you desire, that you enjoy, for the purpose of drawing closer to God? Now this week, let's put another layer to it, because I want you to keep those things going. But the spiritual discipline for this week is thinking. Thinking. It's the process of using one's mind to consider or reason about something. Now that's the biblical, that's the definition that you're going to find by Webster's. But we changed it up, so it's the process of using one's mind to consider or reason about God. Not just to think about random stuff, but to stop and contemplate, to think about spiritual things. About God. Thinking. What happens between these ears are so vitally important if you're going to win in life. Matter of fact, I had a old preacher that was a country preacher years ago said something that stuck with me, and then I've heard it many times over the years. He said that an idle mind is the devil's playground. So the idle mind is the devil's playground because the mind is very important. In fact, Jesus was asked one time about the greatest commandment in the scripture. Okay, there's 613 commandments throughout the Old Testament. So which one is he going to pull out? Because a lot of the teachers of the day, a lot of the rabbis, had one certain commandment that they focused in on that was very important to them. And Jesus made this statement that all the commandments hinge on this one commandment. And so they're listening closely. And he says it as he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6. But he doesn't quote it the way it's quoted in Deuteronomy, because in Deuteronomy it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Jesus says it this way. He says that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and say it with me, all your mind, and all your strength. So Jesus added to the word. Now, I thought we weren't supposed to add or take from the word. Doesn't the Bible say that in the book of Revelation? Well, if you're Jesus, you can. If you are the word in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you have the right to do that. And he wants his audience to know that your mind is so crucial and important. The writer Philippians wrote most of the New Testament, 2/3 of it, made this statement. Check it out. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, he's raising the bar. How many of us have attained to that? How many of us will ever attain to that? No, that's a journey that we are on, of taking on the mind of Christ every day. You see, if we think like the world, if we learn to absorb the world in, we'll think like the world. If we absorb more of Christ, we'll learn to think like Christ. Proverbs, one of the great wise men of the Bible, made this statement. He said, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Thinking is so important, because you become what you think on. I had a gentleman in the church who lost his son just about a week and a half ago. And I sat down with him this week, and he is struggling through the emotions and the pain because his son, young, life suddenly taken away, unexpected phone call. And he said, Pastor, our brain is our biggest enemy. He said, the stuff I'm battling in my brain right now is just overwhelming. It's tough. Our brain, and it is so true, our brains are our biggest enemy. Or it can be a friend. What do you think upon? Is it negative thinking? Is it critical thinking? Is it fearful thinking? Is it selfish thinking? Is it discontented thinking? What are you thinking on? Because here's what I know. Your troubles just may be a product of your thinking. Matter of fact, a lot of the things that you worry about, the troubles in your mind, are stuff that haven't even happened, but you're thinking about, that's keeping you up at night, that you're wrestling with. What troubles are you dealing with, and how much of that has been impacted by how you are thinking? In the book of Philippians, three words said, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. I hope today we start fixing our thoughts. Now, the title of my message is Fixin' or Fixing. How many understand what I'm talking about? If you're from up north or east coast or west coast, you just don't get it. We got a whole nother level of communication around here. Fixin' or fixing. You see, because we understand, and actually fixing and fixin' are two different things. If I'm fixing to go do something, that means I'm going to do it in the near future, or I'm going to do it somewhere in the future. So I say I'm fixing to take out the trash. That means at some point I will get to taking out the trash. But if I say I'm fixing my car, it means I'm actively right now presently fixing and working on my car. If I'm fixing the lamp that's broken, I'm presently working on the lamp. Does anybody get that? I get it. So the question I have for you, are you fixing to do something about your thinking, or are you fixing your thinking? And I hope that you walk out today by fixing your thinking. And I'm going to give you three things to think about. First off is you got to guard your thinking. You got to guard your thinking. Raise your hand right now if you have some type of security system for your home. It could be like one of those door knob things that, like, people come up, you can see them. Anybody have that? How many have some type of injury? That doorknob thing, Shannon's been wanting it for a long time. I finally gave in, and she has her doorknob so that she can see packages being dropped off. She can see people come to the door. She can know if you come to the door, whether she doesn't want to open the door for you or not. You know what I'm talking about? You see, the problem is oftentimes we do a better job guarding our material things than we do our guarding our mind. Proverbs again says this, carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of life, of true life. You see, I may guard my skin by putting sunscreen on, but am I guarding my thoughts? I may guard my skin from getting bit by mosquitoes by putting bug spray on, but am I guarding my thoughts? You see, if we'd guard our thinking like we guard our things, we'd have a whole lot better life. How are you guarding your thinking? Are you guarding them as well as you're guarding your things? 2 Corinthians makes this statement. He said, we demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Are you taking every thought captive? When it goes into your mind, is it uplifting to Jesus? Is it helpful? Is it hopeful? Is it life-giving? Is it honest? Is it pure? If so, dwell on it, think on it, release it out your mouth, and act upon it. But if it is not, take captive those thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. Or get rid of it. Don't let it stay in your thinking. Someone told me this years ago, the places you go determine the people you meet. The people you meet determine the things you think. The things you think determines what you do, and what you do determines what you become in life. Guard our thinking. Next is this, you got to govern your thinking. Govern your thinking. Some time ago, I had a vehicle that it had a governor on it. And basically, the governor on the motor only allowed it to go to a certain speed. That was 95 miles an hour. So you could not go above 95 miles an hour. Now, to be honest with you, I just knew that other people told me about this governor on it. I didn't actually know for sure. So we'll leave it that way. But that's a device to govern something. It's a device on something to regulate or to set so that you don't go past certain boundaries. We need to put a govern on our thinking to be able to measure, just like you measure, the thermostat is used to measure and to set the conditions and the environment temperature-wise in your house. Put a govern on our thinking to set. Notice what it says in Romans chapter number 8. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit's desires. And look at verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is, said with me, death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How many choose life and peace? That's a whole lot better, isn't it? Governed. So not only is it a device to regulate or to set in order, but also to govern can be a person with authority. We have a governor of Oklahoma, authority. Now that word goes back years ago, and actually the powers that we see is not really equal to what the word was initially established. It was to give somebody authority or power over something. Now, we've lived in the home we're living in now for about a year and a half. And when we were building the home and we were putting the driveway in, the beautiful trees all around, but there was this one tree somebody warned me against. They said, you may want to take that tree out. And I said, why? It's such a beautiful tree. He said, that's a mulberry tree. I didn't even realize it was a mulberry tree unless I see mulberries falling down. He said, that's a mulberry tree. It was so beautiful hanging right over the driveway. He said, because when that starts bearing mulberries and dropping, it is going to make a mess of your driveway. And then when it makes a mess of your driveway, it's going to make a mess of your cars that are driving on that driveway. And it's going to be stained and it's going to discolor and you're not going to like that. And I'm like, oh, looked at the tree. I said, I'm going to keep it. Oh, man. Last year we had such a dry winter, we didn't have very many mulberries, hardly any. This year, mulberries galore. I mean, it's like raining mulberries. And I have been out sweeping, wiping, and finally I could not get the stains up. And then I've got power washers and doing my best. Here I am with the power washer out there trying to get rid. Okay, it's getting a little bit, but it's not getting everything. But it was just a dark purple. Look at that. And that's the cursed tree. Matter of fact, there was a scripture in the Bible where Jesus cursed a tree and the disciples came back the next day and the tree was dead. I tried that. And I guess I'm not walking in the authority of Christ because it didn't happen. But you've been given the power of the Holy Spirit to govern your life. It's a person sent from God. And hear me on this. There are times in your thinking that have been stained with sin and bad thinking, negative, critical, discontented thinking. And you know what you may need? The power of the Holy Spirit to begin to power wash your brain, power wash your life, and to begin to set you free from the negative, wrongful thinking. You see, your world is nothing more than the thoughts you allow to thrive. What is your world like, and do you not like it? Is it not filled with love and peace and joy and happiness and honorableness? Then it's probably because of the world you've created with your thinking. And something has to be done about that. Next is this. You got to grow your thinking. So not just guard your thinking and govern your thinking, but now let's grow our thinking. So Jesus, that's the standard. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. We got it early on. When he was 12 years old, we find him separated from his parents, and they looked for him for 3 days. And when they found him in the temple asking questions and just blowing people's mind with the type of questions he was asking. What type of questions are you asking? What are you thinking on? And it says there in Luke chapter number 2, that after his parents are reunited, he says, I must be about my father's business. He leaves, it says, and Jesus, he's 12 years of age, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. In fact, it says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus learned obedience. Now, I don't understand all of that. I don't know how it all works. But here is the Son of God giving an example of you and me for us, that his thinking is so important. He has to discipline his mind, and he went on a journey of learning and growing. Wow. How about you? How's your thinking? Our kids speak Spanish, all three of them. The two older ones are more solid in their Spanish than Annabeth, but how did they learn? People ask me, God, how did they learn Spanish? I said, we were very intentional. And yes, they in middle school, they took Spanish class. Yes, they took Spanish in high school. But many of you took Spanish in middle school and high school, and you don't speak Spanish fluently. Because there has to be a whole other level of thinking. And that whole other level of thinking for us meant that when they were in high school, we had a lady in our church who was first generation from Mexico, fluent Spanish, sat down with our kids and just did conversational Spanish for a whole year. Then they've also been to the Dominican Republic, which we have a team there right now doing ministry in the Dominican with dental care, sports camps, various things are going on. Pray for them, especially with all that's going on. Pray for them. But they learned there. But then they also went to Costa Rica and lived with a family. And by immersion, where all you get is Spanish, they got Spanish. You see, I find so oftentimes as Christians, we get saved. We think everything should be great. When really, that is just the beginning of the process of becoming more like Christ. That is just the thought of start of learning to think and renewing your mind. And letting God do a deeper work. And the problem is we spend too much time with the world than with God. And we need that immersion where we're just full of, we're just dumped into the Word of God, the people of God, the worship of God. And there becomes a life transformation. I'm not against entertainment in the world. I'm not against sports. I enjoy all of that stuff. But I think in our culture today, in our Christian world, we have become so inundated with the world, but where are we getting the immersion with the things of God? Moderation for some of those things that are good things, but just spend time in God's presence, thinking on the things of God. Romans chapter 12 says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you, said with me, think. So the questions I have for you are this. I want you to stop and think about these. What are you reading? What are you watching? Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? And then what needs to change? When it comes to your thinking, ask yourself those questions. What are you reading that needs to change? Is the Bible getting dusty? Are you distracted? Is entertainment finding your attention more than the things of the Lord? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Who do you need to stop listening to? Who do you need to start listening to? And what needs to change for you? Now, Colossians chapter 3 says this. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. How about you? What does that look like? No one eyes closed, no one looking around. Father God, I come to you right now and I ask that your Holy Spirit comes in and does his work among us. With eyes still closed, no one looking around. You know, the book of Revelation talks about Jesus standing at the door knocking. Is he knocking at your heart's door right now, wanting in? If so, open. This is not you saying, I pick God. This is about God picking you. And when God picks you, do not brush off the tug of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And so if he's knocking at your door, open up your door right now of your heart and invite Jesus in to take full control of everything, of all of your life. Because Jesus is not something you just choose on a Sunday or a Thursday night service. No. He is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all of your life. Is he Lord of everything? I want us to pray this prayer together. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. But again, the Holy Spirit has to come knocking and inviting you. You open up, receive him. Say this with me, church family. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I need you. I'm a sinner, and I need my Savior, Jesus. With eyes still closed, no one looking around, all across this place, what needs to change in your thinking? What needs to change in your thinking? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you spending your time doing? You can win when you learn to take the mind of Christ and think on things above than things down here. Holy Spirit, change us today. Renew our minds, renew our thinking. We celebrate you, God, for what you have done and going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the North Church Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and empowered by the Word of God. For more information about North Church, check out our website at north.church. There you can view more messages and join us for experiences live online. You can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great week, and remember to love God, love people, and follow Jesus.